Hey, oh, what's up, weebs? Today's episode is brought to you by Kangaroo. Kangaroo was created to ensure that everyone, and that means you, access to home security. Every product Kangaroo makes starts with three questions. Is it simple? Can it be produced at a price that everyone can afford? And is it secure? With Kangaroo, you never pay for unnecessary bells and whistles, and you know your data is going to be secure. The front door security kit is a simple setup with no tools or tech geeks required. If you have Wi-Fi and you have a smartphone, you can use Kangaroo. Go to kangaroo.com to learn more and start keeping your home safe today. And be sure to use the code RINGDONG for 20% off any Kangaroo complete subscription order. Now, enjoy the episode. Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? I'm back. The Weebcast is back for another week in anime news, anime manga reviews, all done with my lovely Phantom production crew and yours truly, C-Dub. Hope you guys enjoying your day. God damn, man, it has been a pretty hectic week in terms of just anime and manga. Some things that I'll probably be getting to briefly, but I won't tiptoe around it. Today I'm going to be talking a little bit about and my thoughts and feelings about the Kiss anime and Kiss manga being accessible as of Sunday. You guys are on Twitter, right? So, I mean, you guys know what's going on. And I haven't really expressed my feelings exactly on the situation. People who know me, they kind of know how I kind of feel about it. And if you've been listening to the show, you know what I like to promote and what I like to do in terms of watch of streaming anime. And it's no secret that I've long ditched those pirating sites for buys. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I guess it's been about 2-3 years now, probably about three, just a little bit over three now to think about it. But we're gonna get into some news. I'm gonna get into my thoughts and feelings on the Kiss anime and pirating anime kind of thing. And then on the later half, on the second half of the show, it's back. C-Dub's weekly manga corner. I have a nice seat with you guys. We'll sit down, grab something to drink, grab something to snack on. And I got I got three chapters I'm going to be talking about that I'm really excited to talk about that you guys should have picked up in the weekly Shonen Jump this past Sunday. It's going to be let me see. I got them. Trust me. I'm going to be talking about Chainsaw Man chapter 80. Dr. Stone chapter 161 and Ayakashi Triangle chapter 8. I thought those were the three more noteworthy chapters in the Shonen Jump in the last magazine. And so I'm going to be talking about that on the second half of the show. So, but first though, I should probably get into the Kiss anime thing. Can I start with that, guys? Can I be real with you guys? Well, let me detail the story for you real fast. Let me frame it up for you guys. Piracy anime, manga sites, Kiss anime, and Kiss manga are shut down. And the site claims that all files were taken down by copyright owners. The famous piracy anime and manga websites, Kiss anime and Kiss manga, became inaccessible as of this past Sunday, when SS, both websites will state clearly pretty much on the webpage saying all files are taken down by copyright owners. This site will be closed down forever. Thank you for your support. Yada, yada, yada. You've seen some of the Discord, their Discord channel, some of their shots probably posted up on Twitter and Instagram and Tumblr and things like that. But the Kiss Community Discord channels, which claims is not run by the community staff and not, you know, which is, it's claimed, the Discord channel claims that it's run by just the community staff and not by the administrators, but they, on their Discord, it also stated that the sites are gone for good, data deleted and cannot be recovered, end quote. Kiss Anime and Kiss Manga websites were linked to the embedded pirated English subtitled or English dub anime and pirated English translated manga. Which brings me to the new copyright laws enacted in Japan. Japan's parliament actually enacted a proposed revised copyright law in June to expand the law to punish those who knowingly download illegally uploaded or pirated manga, magazines, and academic works. And this revised law actually will go into effect as January of 2021. But the original also bans leech sites that aggregate and provide hyperlinks to pirated media starting on October 1st. And a subcommittee of the Japanese Agency of Cultural Affairs agreed back on in February of 2019, I believe, to create a comprehensive laws banning the practice of knowingly downloading all illegal media from the internet. However, that plan caused concerns as critics argued the tighter regulations would be too broad and hinder the freedom of expression of internet users, which, you know, fair enough. The Agency of Cultural Affairs then revealed the draft of a plan, which contained expectations for, exceptions for screenshots to a panel. And there was a panel of experts, November 2019, I think it was the 27th or 28th, to discuss the proposed changes. And then the Japanese cabinet meeting approved the proposed bill on March 10th of 2020. Previously, the copyright laws, and I had to look at it, only formalized punishment for downloads of illegally, you know, uploaded music and videos, as well as illegal uploads of all materials. This is nothing new. I know this has came to a shock to a lot of people, just not only on Twitter, on Tumblr. And I was reading, I remember when it was trending earlier this week, and I'm sure you guys saw it too, and made your voice known as well, tweeting the hashtag. But this is not new. Not new at all. Manga Mura shut down in 2018, which was a big one, I remember. The Japanese manga piracy site Manga Mura became accessible in April, I believe, in 2018, after the Japanese government officially asked internet service providers in Japan to block access to those pirated manga websites, including Manga Mura. And the Japanese publishers had filed criminal complaints against the website in summer of that year prior, in 2017. And Japanese authorities revealed in the May of 2018 that they were actively investigating Manga Mura for about a year. The Philippine Bureau of Immigration arrested 27-year-old Romy Hoshino, aka Zake Romy, the alleged administrator of Manga Mura. And in 2019, also, the police have arrested three other alleged Manga Mura related individuals in August of 2019. Hoshino was then extradited to Japan in 2019. And that's about as far as I know, but it does bring them on. Who's going to be taking the task for administrating and keeping the site up for Kiss Anime and Kiss Manga? It's been quite a while since I've seen their website, and it was quite and came to shock as to me as when I heard that all the content on there was taken down by the copyright owners. Because like I said, even though I explained it's happened to Manga Mura about 2 years ago, it doesn't happen as often as you think. And there's still tons of other sites that do it. The same thing as Kiss Anime and Kiss Manga, albeit a lot better than how Kiss Anime and Kiss Manga were kind of run. But I guess I should start with just giving you what I feel like immediately. Like I said, at the top of the show that I'm not really that big of a... I stopped pirating, I guess, anime. I guess it's been about 3 years. Ever since I've, with subscriptions such as Netflix and Hulu, Funimation Now and Crunchyroll, and for manga with the Viz Media Shonen Jump subscription, I pretty much get the content that I really want. And if even then, if I can't find that, the next best thing is to either torrent it, and even then I still feel a little shaky about even doing that much. But yeah, it's a lot of our favorite shows and mangas can be legally viewed for not too much on the dollar, to be honest, not too expensive. So I feel, you know, and obviously I preached about it on the show a lot. I talk about the Shonen Jump Viz Media app and their service, their monthly service, a lot, because I love reading manga on that way. It's the best way to read some of the Kodansha and then the weekly Shonen Jump magazine, and just there's two other magazines also where they have manga on. But that's just me though. And I realize that not everybody is in that same position to be doing to have multiple subscriptions to get their fill on anime or manga. Believe me, because like I said, it's only been about 3 years since I've stopped, you know, stopped pirating anime and stuff using sites like Kiss Anime and, you know, GoGo stuff and those other ad ridden places. But in the case of just Kiss Anime and Kiss Manga, I mean, this is truly their fault of their owners there for having their stuff on Google, being so specific. Because then once the Google got their DMCA notice, everything was nuked. And I must make an addition to when I was framing the story, and not just a few moments earlier, because I did I wanted to explain the Japanese new laws. But I forgot to add in there that those laws only refer to those inside Japan, and not those in the U.S. Like I said, because this was DSMA noticed from Google, and then they contacted the copyright owners, and the copyright owners signed off, you know, gave the green light, and everything was nuked on those sites. So I should have made that clear up at the top, that Japan themselves and their new copyright laws had nothing to do with Kiss Anime and Kiss Manga being inaccessible. But I wanted to bring it up just at least so you guys understand, get all the information as much as possible. But you know, I got some thoughts. You know, it's people with. Like I said, I don't expect everyone to have the resources to stream legally everything on Crunchyroll or Funimation or Verve, you know, other sites that may stream anime, Hulu, Netflix. Obviously, yeah, I was going to say, I don't expect people, especially people younger than me, you know, I don't expect them to be shelling out money to get their anime. But there are better ways than using Kiss Anime and Kiss Manga. I'll let you know that. Trust me, there are a lot better ways. But to be honest, I'm kind of saying good riddance. Because sites like those were always awful. They were always full of malware, ransomware, block ad blockers, and worst of all, the people running those sites profit off them too, which is honestly crazy. Something I didn't know until I was looking into it a little bit earlier this week. I gotta see if I can find some of the numbers and find some of the information so I can report this a little more accurately, because people run those sites, Kiss Manga, Kiss Anime, GoGo, all those places, they actually made money and did it as a living, which is crazy to think about. People, you know, pirating that kind of anime. And then I can see if you're doing it for the sake of the good, but them making actually money off of it, using all those ads and people putting those, like I said, the malware, ransomware, and all that shit on the site. I gotta see if I can find it. There we go. I think I found it. I got an example. Here we go. I was trying to pick an anime that I knew was pretty big around the time. Erased, one of my favorite mangas and animes. Erased. There was about 4.4 million views of Erased. At the time, I think this was around 2017. At this time, 2017. So about 4.4 million views of illegal anime streaming on the site. And reapply that this the revenue per viewer. The Japanese creator Erased would have earned around somewhere from about $77,000 to $310,000 of dollars if the viewers on the site have legally streamed the show. And that's a newer show. If we talked about One Piece and just the subbed, there's been over about 62.4 million views of One Piece, and that number is more because this is data from 2017, I believe. Or 2016, 2017. So that would have been based on that. And I'm getting these on 1.2 thousand to 4.3 thousand dollars of viewers that One Piece creators could have gotten, you know, money that they could have seen. I'm sorry. Did I say thousand? I meant to say million. Basically, anywhere from a million to 4.3 millions of dollars from those illegally streamed views. And even then, like, there's still shows with a little less of attention, like that one Yuri kind of show, Slice of Life, Sakura Trick. And we're looking at they were streamed over about a million views as of 2016, 2017, and that would have been anywhere from $19,000 to $70,000 just from illegal streams. And that's just a few anime titles. Now imagine with all the anime that's on Kiss Anime. I'm trying to think how many pop shows there could possibly be, but let's say like assume each person on that site is watching two shows that month and watching six episodes per show. Let's, 2.1 million people times two shows, six episodes. That's about 26 million views, which is about per month, $458,000 to about $1.8 million. I'm kind of lowballing it here. And that was just that year. These numbers could be so much bigger and so much more horrendous right now. We're already in the 5 million to 22 million, assuming if that there were six other streaming outlets in another language other than English. Could be torrents or just a different site. And then if we extrapolate just from that month and just to the whole year, we're talking about 33 million, lowballing it up to at least 132 million. So over 5 years, we're talking almost at the low end $165 million of illegally streamed anime that could have went to its creators and to supporting those studios and supporting, yeah, you know. It's honestly ridiculous. I mean look for me, C-Dub right here on Weebcast is just, it advises people, if you can, to watch via legal means when possible. There's always Blu-rays, there's DVDs, there's legal streams. I should put out a list of legal streams somewhere on my Twitter. But I'll name some ones that are at least available in my country in the United States. Adult Swim, Akiba Pass, All Four, Amazon Video, Anime Digital Network, Anime Lab, Anime Planet, Annie Plus Asia, Asian Crunch, Calm TV, Crunchyroll, Funimation, Gundam.info, High Dive, Hulu, Mangas, Midnight Pulp, Netflix, Nico Nico, Pokemon.com, Retro Crunch, Toku, Tubi TV, YouTube, all those are all places. So rewind it if you missed one of them. And most of them have free versions of all those, and some of them do have monthly subscriptions as options as well. But those are just ones that I can think off the top of my head that you guys should that I advise for you guys to use. Where you can stream them legally and download them. Because all I'm saying is, we're not in the days of where VH tapes were $30 to $35 with an audio track and like two episodes. Or one of those like $30 MSRP single DVDs with three or five episodes. And those were like the main legal ways to watch stuff. You know, it's 2020. And now if something's not legally available in your region, torrenting is really the only acceptable method, as nobody's profiting off those. And the quality is a lot higher than these illegal streams on Kiss Anime and Kiss Manga anyway. You can also pick what you're getting. From subs to TV versus the BD versions. And illegal sites for shows that were simulcast just put up the simulcast rips of which are the TV versions and call it a day. You know, you also don't have to worry about illegally streams rightfully getting pulled for, you know, copyright infringement. So that's just kind of my thoughts on it. On this whole mess, like I said, I didn't want to spend too much time on it. I just wanted to kind of get you guys caught up on what's going on, if you haven't already knew, and kind of give you my thoughts on it, and just kind of give you some other options if you were one of those people that used one of those sites. But I should get on to some other news. There's other things I wanted to get into this episode. There was some anime that's being premiered and things of that nature. Hey yo, what's up? It's Weebcast Radio. Welcome back. I was kind of thinking back a little bit. I spent about 20 some odd minutes talking about the Kiss anime, Kiss manga. And if you're listening to this right when it drops, right on this Friday, on this lovely Friday, I talked a little bit more about it. Now I talked more about it on the live in a impromptu, brand new, first ever Weebcast Hangout live session on Podbean. So if you guys ever want to hop on a call with, if you want to ever want to call into the show on a Weebcast Hangout Live, download the Podbean app. It's free. You don't have to do anything about it. But that allows you to hop on the Weebcast Hangout and join the calls, join the session, join the chill as I just go through the news of that day in anime and manga or anything else that whatever that strikes our fancy or whatever. And we talk about some future projects, future episodes and topics I want to cover in the future and things like that. So it was a lot of fun with about the five or seven people I had on my very first one yesterday. So that was pretty interesting. But I talked almost about another good, almost like 20 more minutes about the Kiss anime manga thing. So the people who were there that they kind of got a little more of a raw, less scripted side of my opinions on there. But I feel like what I felt like I had to say earlier, I stand pretty true to that. But moving on, I want to move on to some other things in the news this past week that caught my eye. Some of these I might have to rapid fire some of these, but some of them I might take a few minutes and just digest. First things first, let's talk about the Demon Slayer movie, The Mugen Train, which is coming out in October. But what's also coming out in October is that the Mugen Train film gets a novel version. Shueisha announced on Friday that, announced earlier today, I believe, that it will release a novel adaptation of Demon Slayer Kitsune no Yaiba, the movie, Mugen Train film, which comes out on October 16th. The same day the film opens in Japan, Aya Yajima is returning from the three previous novels in the franchise to write this new novel. And the main staff members of the previous television anime are returning for the sequel film. Toho and Aniplex are handling the film's distribution in Japan. Funimation, our friends at Funimation Films, is partnering with Aniplex of America to release it in North America in 2021 with no exact date. But yeah, so this is pretty cool. for someone who's only read, I think, two of the novels of Demon Slayers currently, I gotta get to the third one. This actually really excites me and makes me kind of get excited to read the third one at a good pace so I can get ready for the one in October 16th. And if you haven't read the novels, I implore you, for people who are fans of Demon Slayer, which there are a lot of, but I don't think how much, I don't know how big, I don't know how much in the fandom realize that the novels are just as good as the manga, just as entertaining as the anime, delves into other territories that the manga couldn't get to, and definitely that the anime doesn't necessarily touch too much. And it's great supplementary information and knowledge to feed your Demon Slayer needs. If you're kind of feeling left out and, you know, you read the manga, you watched the anime, you still want some more Demon Slayer content. They have three whole novels, and they got a movie coming up. So spend some time doing that if you've been missing some Demon Slayer in your life. Let's go right into another anime. Another pretty big anime that people, I guess, don't talk about too much. That's Assassination Classroom. Because that's premiering on Toonami next week. I believe next week on August 29th. Yusei Matsui's, the anime based on Yusei Matsui's manga, will air, I think, on Toonami on August 29th, 1 a.m. And the official Facebook account for Adult Swim's Toonami programming block announced that this earlier today, or Friday night, or I believe, an Assassination Classroom will join the Saturday night lineup on August 29th, airing at 1 a.m. And let me give you the full lineup for that August 29th right there. And tell me Toonami isn't doing something right here. You got Dragon Ball Super at 12 a.m. 12:30, you have JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Golden Wind. You got 1 a.m. got the new edition Assassination Clash. Then you got Black Clover at 1:30 a.m. Then you got Fire Force at 2 a.m. Then you got Naruto Shippuden and at 2:30, and then ending that block at 3 a.m. Samurai Jack. Look, I'm not even a big fan of Black Clover, and you know Dragon Ball Super is kind of mid, but that's not a bad block. Not a bad block. And to be honest, I've never actually heard the Assassination Classroom English dub, so I may have to check it out just to see what it is. Because I remember the mangas ran, what, from 2012 to 2016. It was about a 4-year run, almost five. And they only have two seasons, right? One 22 episode season and a 25 episode season, right? I've definitely finished the manga, but I'm not sure if I've ever seen the second season animated. If I've ever seen that second season, I might have to go back to that. But on the dub, though, I'm interested in seeing that. Because it was a live-action movie, too. Can't be any worse than that, right? Right? But in any case, what else we got today? What did I have? Oh, that's right. Gotta get a quick update on the Japanese animation TV rankings. Cause you know me at Weebcast, we love that stuff. We love it. My Neighbor Totoro premiered recently on TVs across in Japan. Studio Ghibli and Hayao Miyazaki's infamous My Neighbor Totoro film aired on NTV on Friday. Or Thursday for us, but aired on Friday of last Friday, I'm sorry, August 14th, around 9 p.m., and earned a 16.5% rating. That week's episode of Watashi no Katsuri Nagisa-san, the live action series adaptation of Furuko Yosari's manga, aired on Tuesday of August 11th, about 10 p.m.-ish, and that earned over a 16% rating. And then Natsumi Ando's Something's Wrong With Us manga premiered episode on NTV August 12th, that day after, and about almost a 10%, getting a 9.6 rating. So those were some of the highest ones of that week. And the week I'm speaking of is August 10th to the 16th. I don't have the data for, obviously, from the 16th to the 22nd yet. I'm probably getting that tomorrow-ish, maybe on Monday. It'll probably be Monday till I get the... I usually wait for Monday to get the official things. Because it's Fuji TV and NTV, they all publish that, all that good stuff. But let's get into some of the other shows in that TV ranking. Some of the things that I thought was actually interesting and doesn't happen very often. One Piece, which usually doesn't score very high on in like Japanese household TVs. It's not on a lot of TVs. People don't tune in for it as much as people like to. If you go on Twitter, if you like to believe, like I said, Twitter is a household. It's like a funhouse mirror. When truth enters Twitter, it's twisted and bends and all that shit. And when it comes out on the other side, it's not really the truth anymore. That's how I view Twitter. But obviously, Sasae-san, popular children's TV show, obviously held the top spot in most household rating with a 9.1. Detective Conan holding it down on MTV with a 7.6 average household rating. Always doing it big because people love streaming Detective Conan. And they love watching it on the TV. Can't say that about some other shows. But back to One Piece premiere, you know, coming on Future TV. It actually rang. It was on. More people watched it this in that week than Doraemon and Crayon Shin-chan. Two very cult classics, loved by all ages. Both scored lower than One Piece in that week. So I thought that was actually interesting. It's going to be. And see if that's gonna carry over into the next week. But at the and it was another thing interesting. I thought at the bottom of that list, with a 2.3 average household rating, that was Digimon Adventure, the reboot, remake. I'm not really quite sure how they actually picture it, or how they actually determine that. But yeah, so I think that premiered on August 16th, just last Sunday, and that was a 2.3 rating. It was interesting that it even got into. It just in this in that top 10 or 11 ish in the first place, to be honest. I know a lot of people aren't very excited about seeing this Digimon Adventure being rebooted, redone. But the fact that it found a spot that people are watching, and if people are watching on households, that means there's an audience streaming it as well. So I thought that was interesting to make notes of. Also, Darwin's Game. You heard me talk a lot about Darwin's Game. I think it's one of the better mangas out right now. But Darwin's Game novel prequel has ended. The serialized prequel about Shuka Rain's Pass launched this past January 16th. And then this year's 38th issue of Akita Shonen, Shoten's Weekly Shonen Champion magazine announced on just yesterday that the serialized prequel novel of Flip Flops, Darwin's Game manga will end magazine's next issue August 27th. The novel launched in Weekly Shonen Champion, which is another good magazine you guys need to get hip on. They got some good titles in there. I have to do an episode talking about Shonen Champion, but the Flip Flops duo is once again working on a novel with member Shumiyama, which formerly went under, under the pen name anymore, of Ginko, writing the story, and member Yukiya Takahata doing the illustration. The novel story focused on Shuka and Rain's Pass mainly, and where the manga centers on Kaname Sudo, the high school boy who's drawn to a mysterious game map named Darwin's Game. And it becomes involved in a social game where it stakes are life or death. Which, if you don't know the history of Darwin's Game, Flip Flop launched that manga in the Byasasu Shonen Champion manga in December of 2012, I believe. And the manga's 21st compiled book just shipped on August 6th. While Miyama provides the story, Takahata provides the art. And the manga just entered its final arc, you know, this year, the beginning of this year. And I talked a good bit about the anime when I did my winter first impressions when I got hip on it. So check that episode out as well. I watch it on Funimation now. But you can watch it on Funimation now, Crunchyroll, and high dive. But I got some other quick stories to go through real fast. So let's get right into them. I talked about this on the live, on my Podbean live show just yesterday. I talked about Gintama and the final film and how it's based on the manga's finale. But there was something about Undead Unluck that I wanted to talk about. That's right. Just yesterday, Shonen Jump's Undead Unluck wins the Sugi Nikudo Manga 2020 Awards. The winners were announced for the 6 Sugi Nikudo Manga Taisho, which are the up-and-coming manga awards. And I talked about this on the show, I think, before. I'm pretty sure I've talked about the manga taisho, these awards before, where it's about they're awarding some of the up-and-coming good great mangas. And the top prize, we're going to Yoshifumi Tosaka's Undead Unluck, which I think I reviewed on the show at least once or twice. I haven't given it so much attention, and because not a lot of people talk about it yet. But like I'm telling you, one of these days, you're going to be seeing Undead Unluck popping up on your Twitter, on your timelines, on your Instagram, on your Tumblr. You're going to be seeing some art. You're going to see some cool shit when that shit gets animated. I'm telling you guys, you heard it here first. But this Shonen Jump series is licensed by Viz Media, and you can read it in print and digital, where I read it in digital. But let me talk a little bit about Undead Unluck, though. The story follows Fuko Izumo, otherwise known as the woman cursed with unluck. And Fuko brings misfortune to literally anyone she touches. And her scale is proportional to how long they had physical contact. She's saved by Andy, a man that cannot die. Which is, you know, undead. He hopes to figure out a way to use Fuko's misfortune to finally bring him death. And the unlikely pair kind of team up to complete missions given to them by the Book of Revelations. But if they or any other negators in their union fall, the book can punish humanity. And then Tosaka, the author and the illustrator for the manga, had commented on his win, and I quote, "First place. Thank you so much for your votes and support. I am now keenly aware that I was able to create a manga thanks to the support of many people. Rather than embarrassing myself after this fortuitous outcome, I think I'll continue with this interesting manuscript," end quote. I don't understand what the hell he means by that. So far, the manga is already pretty crazy as it is. Like, it's pretty an interesting concept already. And the fact that he thinks he has more to get, some more interesting and more crazier things up ahead, it scares me and also incites me at the same time. But Tosaka launched the series on January 20th, which was my birthday, this year. And Viz Media began publishing that series that same month. But second place, I should talk about second place. People forget about, look, they always say, you know, first place will always be remembered and anyone who comes in second will never be remembered. But I'm not going to let that happen on Weebcast here. Second place went to another Shueisha title. This time, writer Rikito Nakamura and artist Yukito Nozawa, comedy romance Kimi no Kota ga Dai 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 Sky. You know, the 100 Girlfriends manga. You can read it on the Shonen Plus Jump app, which I do. But it's not currently in English. But the series follows pretty much the perpetually brokenhearted Aijo, who meets the god of love after praying at a shrine, and the god tells him that he will meet 100 girls fated to fall in love with him, but if his relationship with them fails, they'll die a cruel twist of fate. And then Shōrichō Yamamoto's Sōdadamo Amuyu wa Yosakuru rounded out with third place, and you can read that series, because that's published in Kodansha's Weekly Shonen magazine, which is not currently available in English. But the story follows two classmates and only members of the school's shoji club. And the younger male's classmate has a stone-cold expression, but his female upperclassman enjoys goading him into confess and obsessing over the game. There was 20 winners, or the top 20 of the winners, with Undead Unluck being number one. But I will at least go down to at least 20, to the top 10. Real fast for you, Undead Unluck by Yoshifumi Tosaka, which you can read in the Viz Media, which is great. The 100 Girlfriends by Rikito Nakamura and Yuriko Nozawa came in second. Sōdadamo Amuyu Watsukuru no Yoshikuru, the Shoji manga, rounds out in third. Fourth, Akuyuku Reijo Tensei Oji-san came in fourth. Bukuryo Nai Senpai by Makoto Kudo was in fifth. Sixth, which is the one you probably have heard of, A Gravity Boys by Sushi Nakamura, which you can read on the Shonen Jump app, which is in English, licensed by Viz Media. Let's skip down to 11, which is another one of my favorites, Mashle, Magic and Muscles, by Hajime Komoto, licensed also by Viz Media. 13, let's jump down, skip 12 and go to 13 with Mitama Security Spirit Busters, another comedy show, which is fairly decent. There's a few other ones that were pretty notable. Oh, Destroy All Humankind That Can't Be Regenerated by Katsuri Isa and Takuma Yokota. That was coming in 16th. Whisper Me a Love Song by Iku Takeshima, which is published in Kodansha Comics. And that came in 18th. And at 20 was Dead Mount Death Play by Ryogo Narita and Shinta Fujimoto, which is licensed by Square Enix Books, which I'm pretty sure they have, which you can get a free trial and read there as well. And these winners are decided by fan vote submitted by, they had to get them in by July 3rd. And the award is co-organized by the Kadokawa Media Factory Books and Manga News Magazine, Da Vinci, and streaming service Nico Nico. I think in this year, they had about over almost 5,000 entries. More is twice as many as last year, and 50 nominees were selected for each category. And some previous winners, like My Senpai is Annoying by Shiro Manta, and obviously last year's winners, The Pharmacist Monologue in the print category, and Spy Family was the winners in last year for the web manga category as well. But I thought that was interesting. Big ups to Yoshifumi Tozuka for winning this up-and-coming manga awards with Undead Unluck, because this manga, it should be going places. I do believe it will be going places. That was one of the few big stories I definitely wanted to get into. I'm not sure if I wanted to get into anything else too heavy on the news side here. Not sure if I've written down anything else I really wanted to get into. That might be it right there. I was going to talk a little bit more about the Act Age situation and its author being arrested, I think this past August 3rd, for groping middle school girls. But I think I'm going to leave that for another episode, or just maybe kind of reference it with some tweets or whatever, or maybe do a live next week about it. Because it's warranted more than just a few minutes worth of conversation, to be honest. And because it deserves more of a, because that's a serious topic, and it deserves some more attention than what I'm willing to do it for this episode right here. But on the other side, you're gonna have to sit down, find a nice comfy spot, get some snacks, get some juice. Because on the other side, we're going to be entering C-Dub's illustrious, comfortable, suave, sexy manga corner. Yeah, that's right. We're going to be entering the manga corner with your boy C-Dub. And because I got three chapters that you guys should have checked out in this past week's Shonen Jump magazine. Three chapters that I thought deserve some attention. Which will be Chainsaw Man, Chapter 80, Dr. Stone, 161, and Ayakashi Triangle, Chapter 8. And I'm going to get to all those three on the other side. So, with no further ado, I'll see you on the side. Hey-ya. Hey, yo, what's up, Weebs? Welcome back to another episode of Weebcast. Hope you guys are enjoying this episode so far. I know it's been chock full with a lot of stuff going in, talking about the Kiss anime, Kiss manga, being shutting down, hitting up this past week's with some of my favorite news stories in anime and manga so far. this past week. But now we're gonna chill out. Talk some manga. You know I'll be a manga. I'll be a big manga head, bro. Y'all already know this. This ain't no surprise. But like I said, the thing is, I love releasing these episodes on Fridays, keeping this nice consistent schedule, is because I want y'all to start off y'all and your work week with something relaxing, something entertaining. I hope, with a guy with a bad voice, weaving out on some anime and manga, taking the stuff too seriously sometimes. I want you to end your work week with something enjoyable and start your weekend with some cool shit, you know what I mean? With some cool stuff. And you're like, oh, that's new. I might want to check that out. I might want to watch it. I might want to read that. So I want to end your work week nice. I want to start your weekend even nicer. So that's why I like releasing these things on Fridays, right on noon. But also, I think I talked a little bit before I get into the super sweet, super sultry manga corner. Let me get with the plan moving forward. Got the Shoujo episode coming pretty much complete in research and script writing. But the Tokyo Ghoul episode, which if you guys follow me on Twitter, which you guys should on Twitter, .com/JXNMORI. I've been talking about my Tokyo Ghoul script, and so I'm going to be doing a Tokyo Ghoul retrospective. And I haven't done one of these since the Bleach one, which has been about, what, April? I think I did that one in April, I believe. May, I think it might have been in May. End of April, early May. So I'm really excited to get this one out. And I want it to be better than what I did in the Bleach retrospective, where I want to hit the anime, hit the manga, and really focus on what I liked about it, what I didn't like about it, give it a nice official Weebcast rating, and kind of talk about how I think that series will be remembered, what its place in history, in its genre, and just in its genre and its genre of fiction and things of that nature. And this one's been proved a little bit harder to write than the Bleach one, I will say that much. Not like I haven't enjoyed it. I really do enjoy it. I love going back to the manga, rereading some chapters, and going back to the anime, checking out some of the cooler scenes. So it's been fun, and it's been hard. And I can't wait to get that episode out to you as soon as possible. But the next episode, let's get a little house clean, because I know I believe Shonen Jump, they released some chapters, but it's not a lot of chapters. And I don't know if I want to do a week for the manga corner for next week. I may not pick chapters out of the weekly Shonen Jump. I may want to do something else. Maybe get to some recommendations people have given me. Or just do a volume of a manga that I've been reading and kind of just really dig deep and dive deep into that chapter, just a single volume, and kind of talk about that for the manga corner for next week's episode. I'll probably talk a little bit more about that on Twitter, what I plan to do for that, depending on if nothing really catches my eye in the Shonen Jump this upcoming week. So we'll see about what you guys want to do, what you guys want to hear. Let me know on Twitter, or let me know wherever you guys may be listening to. But before I get to the Moncorn, again, I hate delaying. I keep getting sidetracked. But speaking about listening to podcasts, if you're listening to this podcast right now, and whatever platform you may be listening to it, please rate and subscribe. Leave a review if possible. Tell me how I'm doing. Tell me how much you've been loving the show. Tell me what you want to see on the show more. All that feedback is very much appreciated. 5 stars, rate, subscribe, you know, all that good stuff, all that good and juicy stuff. That's very much appreciated. Gets a good feeling, gets a good feeling in my gut. You know what I mean? Good feeling in the gut. And I want to get you guys a good feeling in the gut, you know? Is that, okay. My production team is telling me that came off a little suggestive. So can we cut, Can we cut that out? But, just move on. Just move on to the manga corner. Okay. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the infamous C-Dubs Manga Corner, where I go with you each and every week, picking out some chapters from the weekly Shonen Jump magazine, the legendary Shueisha's magazine, which has been releasing weekly for over 50 years at this point and still has enough side inning series in its roster to justify its hallowed status. Plus, with Viz Media now publishing the entire thing in English, there's never been a better time to jump in. And in this week, as you sit down into your nice little chair in this manga corner, I have three cool chapters that I'm going to dive in with you today. And things I want to tell you that is worth your time reading. And in this week, we're going to be all going all over Chainsaw Man chapter 80, Dr. Stone chapter 161, and Ayakashi Triangle chapter 8. I'll be honest. I wasn't looking forward to going over this manga corner too much with the arrest of Tatu and Masuki's and subsequent cancellation of Act Age has been kind of hanging over me and a lot of people in these circles since it came to light this past weekend. And it was kind of hard to read a lot, any of stuff in the Weekly Shonen Jump. It was a really, really weird mood. But, you know, hey, we persevere in this. Weebs persevere. We've been through harder things, all right? We're strong. Weird, but we're strong. And today, I got a cohort of chapters that I thought was really comforting to read. Most likely because Act Age wasn't a part of them. But there was a lot of series that hit a grand slam in this week, you know what I'm saying? So I suppose things will be all right. So let's start with Chainsaw Man. Chainsaw Man chapter 80. The way that Chainsaw Man chapter 80 opens immediately got me on board. Last week's chapter was a tough one, you know, containing the climax of the fight between Denji and Aki and the latter's death. The trauma arising from that hangs over this chapter like a dark cloud and immediately makes it clear. So with an extremely cold opening, just saying Aki died, and then it begins. Moving on to establish Denji and Power's new living situation. And it's not just the change in circumstances and the lasting consequences from last week's chapter that got me feeling all these things while reading Chainsaw Man chapter 80. However, it was also the emotion that Denji clearly felt. There's a particular beautiful scene where he attempts to eat an ice cream before throwing it back up and again and just collapsing on the park bench. The way he described his mind, being as all jumbled up from the moment I wake up to the moment I fall asleep, just perfectly describes my mind right now. Equally effective of having the trauma of one of my favorite series being canceled. When Makima turns up, my mind was already in a fragile enough state that I said, oh no, please, oh no, don't do this. And I said it out loud, I believe, when I was reading it, and wondered what on earth was she up to. The events of the last arc have revealed her true nature as the control devil and an evil person, using her powers to control those around her and using them for her own benefit. Nevertheless, her intentions do seem somewhat benign in Chainsaw Man chapter 80 as she invites Denji over for a casual cup of tea. Upon entering her apartment, we're immediately greeted with a whole host of dogs that Makima apparently keeps as her pets. And not only does this serve as an excellent, subtle demonstration of her passion for control, well-trained dogs listen to everything that you say, after all. It also sends a very, very mixed messages to the reader. You know, I'm a cat person, but I can see being as a dog person can't possibly be a bad person. As a dog, you know, I'm not a dog owner myself, but I can somehow connect with anyone who sees the value of man's best friend. And the way Makima dotes on her dogs in Chainsaw Man Chapter 80 is simply just too heartwarming to resist. And maybe she has me wrapped around her little finger too. But the end of Chainsaw Man Chapter 80 is also a strong one. Throughout the entire series, Denji has been chasing after Makima's love and attention, but there have been some diversions along the way. You know, first there was Himeno, and then there was Reze. But in chapter 80 of Chainsaw Man, seems to put everything right back to square one. As when asked what wish he would like Makima to grant, Denji says he wants to be her dog. Any other series would have me writing this, end it off as a mere cliffhanger intended to create some anticipation for the next chapter. But if Chainsaw Man's last two arcs have taught me, if they taught me anything, then it's to expect the unexpected. I would not be surprised if Tatsuki Fujimoto takes this wish and runs with it. Consequences be damned. And this is what I love so fucking much about this series. Chainsaw Man is at its best, at its peak, when it's pitting two characters against each other, but exploring the dynamics that exist between them. And if the narrative does up changing dramatically because of the events of Chapter 80, it will be because the characters will it to do so. And that's the essence of character-driven narrative, and I'm here for that shit. Let's go right into the next one. On C-Dub's Manga Corner, Dr. Stone, 161. If Chainsaw Man Chapter 80 acted as a beautiful example of the kind of character-driven narrative that will be missing from Weekly Shonen Jump now that Act Age is gone, then Dr. Stone Chapter 161 was like seeing a old friend again for the first time, you know? It is no secret that I've always greatly enjoyed Richiro Inugaki and Bocchi's Science series and penned many of my tweets, you know, glowing. You should listen to our Dr. Stone episode that I did with an awesome girl named Natasha. Shout out to Natasha. Because we talked a lot about this in that episode. But as much as I love Dr. Stone, it doesn't have the same emotional impact that it had me on, like, Act Age. It certainly has played a role almost as important, though. And let me get into that. Dr. Stone, Chapter 161, picks up right after a very, very, very strong ending last week. With Senku incapacitated and Chrome having to pick up the mantle of super scientist. This aspect of Chrome's character development has been present from the very beginning, with the self-proclaimed magician learning the ropes from the modern-day Senku and acting as an apprentice of sorts. But this time, he is on his own, and it's time to take all that he has learned and put it into practice finally, proving that he can really go toe-to-toe with the minds of the modern day. But first, the crew of the Perseus need to buy some time. And they do this by strategically using Medusa, tricking Zeno into thinking that they have more of them, and delivering it to his doorstep. Even so, to achieve this, they'll need some help from the inside. And this is where Gen gets his chance to shine in Dr. Stone, Chapter 161. Gen Asagiri, one of my dudes, one of my favorite characters, as he tries his best to roll with the punches and second-guess their plan. In the process, again, discover something pretty interesting. Zeno is also working on something secret, away from the knowledge of the Kingdom of Science and deep underground. We don't know what this is exactly in this chapter, 161, but it makes it clear that 2 weeks is our hero's time limit. And that is when both Zeno's project will be completed along with Chrome's roadmap. And speaking on Chrome's roadmap, Inugaki and Bocchi do an excellent job of expressing in both pictures and words Chrome's tutelage from Senku and lack of modern knowledge. While the scientific principles of the roadmap the scientific principles of the roadmap are sound. Using triangulation and a drill to dig a hole to Zeno's base, Chrome doesn't have the vocabulary or knowledge to properly express it, meaning that he uses his words such as puff puff machine and illustrates the gadgets in a cartoony style. And it's these little touches in Dr. Stone chapter 161 that make it such a damn joy to read. That being said, I still have my gripes though. For one, Senku isn't fully incapacitated, able to offer some words of guidance to Chrome before fading into the background for the rest of the chapter. And I'm not quite sure if Inigaki just doesn't have sense of how bad Senku injuries are, or is he just realizing how much of the manga's plot relies on Senku's intellect? The latter being much of a bigger problem, and let's hope that doesn't continue. Removing that removes much of the motor force that drives this, you know, whole entire series along. Still, I will not lie. Dr. Stone chapter 161 was a wonderful installment that had me realizing why I fell in love with Inigaki's and Bocchi's science series all over again. And that is no doubt motivated by the current state of mind, but I'm just trying to stay honest and I'm trying to stay positive. Next, and finally, but not least, Ayakashi Triangle chapter 8. Finally, we come to Ayakashi Triangle chapter 8. As I said from the beginning, I think that quite a lot of series have had good chapters this past week, with Moray King chapter 15, Hard Boiled Cop and Dolphin chapter 6, Me and Roboco chapter 5, and A Gravity Boys chapter 31, all coming very close to making the cut in my top three most interesting, as my top three picks for to be on Manga Corner, in the Manga Corner for this week. But I chose the latest Ayakashi Triangle for one simple reason. And that was because it delivered very well on exciting cliffhanger. Which wasn't exactly what I was expecting, to be honest. Last week's Ayakashi Triangle left on an interesting note, to say the least. You know, tensions between Suzu and Matsuri have been running high for a while now. Especially as Matsuri's transformation into a girl puts the brakes on any sort of romance for some reason. But this culminated in when appeared to be Suzu sneaking into Matsuri's home to give him or her a kiss. As it turns out, this was not Suzu at all, but an Omokage illusion born from Suzu's spirit energy. Yeah, I know. So essentially, it attempts to carry out whatever she was thinking before she went to sleep, which includes both kissing Matsuri and eating crepes. No, more power to you, I guess. And if that sounds like a cop-out, it isn't, because Ayakashi Triangle Chapter 8 actually uses this new entity to its fullest, telling a very, very competent A to B story as Matsuri attempts to track down the Omokage before it does any damage to Suzu's body. Particularly clever is the fact that Suzu shares all of her senses with the Omokage, which lends herself to the action, you know, and Matsuri is forced to use this limited information provided by her along with his intuition to track down the spirit. And while reading Ayakashi Triangle chapter 8, I got the real impression that Kentaro Yabuki knows exactly what he's doing here. That shouldn't be too much of a surprise, given that he nearly 20 years of manga experience. But everything is just perfectly executed in Ayakashi Triangle chapter 8. The character interactions, the tense action, and obviously the art. Oh, goddamn, this art is just... The art is phenomenal, as usual. It always hits. This is the first time that we touched on the chapter of Kentaro Yabuki's newest series on this show since... Maybe I think I talked about chapter 2 in an older episode. I might. So perhaps in a more general comment on the development of series is kind of thus far really needed. But to cut a long story short, I really like it. And I'm slightly ashamed to say so, as it's hardly one of the most refined stories in Weekly Shonen Jump right now. But something about it just has me hooked. Maybe it's the love story. Maybe it's the art.
Maybe it's the fan service. Who knows? But thank you for taking a seat in C-Dub's sultry, sexy manga corner. But you can read Chainsaw Man Chapter 80, Dr. Stone Chapter 161, and Ayakashi Triangle Chapter 8 for free in Viz Media's Shonen Jump service. But I said, thank you so much for sitting down with me, going over some manga, sitting down with me, talk about my thoughts and feelings on the Kiss anime, Kiss manga situation, and some cool news stories over this past week. We're gonna get all that and some more next week on the episode of Weepcast. But thank you for listening. Thank you for allowing my voice into your ears, into your homes. I hope you enjoyed it. And always to remember that if you want to support this podcast, just make sure you guys keep listening, keep sharing it with your friends and family, who any other or any weebs that you know that might want to listen to the number one anime and manga show on the internet. Just slide on Weebcast, baby. Just slide on Weebcast. They're gonna love it. They're gonna love you for recommending it to them, huh? Imagine how cool you're gonna be. After you share this podcast with them, now all the knowledge you get from me, all this secret, all this cool, low key knowledge, they're gonna be like, man, so this is where you get all your shit from? This is where you get your big brain anime stuff from? Damn, no wonder. I'm gonna have to do that. And that's the coolest thing about this show. You listen to the show, you're gonna find out some things that that not a lot of weebs know about. I'm telling you, you're gonna find out some things like, oh man, I didn't know about that. I didn't know about that shit. That's pretty dope. That's what I'm here for. But that also supports the podcast, sharing it and listening to it, rating and subscribing on whatever podcast platform you may be listening to this show. Whether you're listening to it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Overcast, even over, you know, anywhere. Or if you're listening to it on Podbean. Make sure you guys just keep listening, keep sharing it. And if you want to take it a step further and get a shout out on the show, all you have to do is go to anchor.fm/weebcast/support, or go to the link in any of this episode or any other episode. And if you want to support this podcast, you can send over a small donation right to the show, directly to me, to put forward to better equipment, better guests, improving the show overall. And it'd be greatly much appreciated. Like I said, you will be shouted out on the show, and it's gonna be great. It'd be so lovely of you, and I'll love you forever. And not like I already don't love you guys. Like I seriously love the hell out of you guys already. You know what I mean? But before we round this show out, I just wanted to do quick, and I might keep doing this later, because I did upload a small section of last week's episode of Will I Be Watching Yashihime on YouTube, about 10 minutes, and I got a cool comment on my YouTube, and I want to read that and shout them out, because they said it was okay for me to talk about this comment. But they said, four movies. If Kagome spent 3 days in the feudal era and 3 days in the modern era, she would end up 6 days older. I get the feeling that most plot points they are releasing is stuff that happens in the first couple of episodes when they are setting up the story. I think Mordecai is the glue that holds them all together. And I agree, but I think that the muscle will be split up between them all and the three of them, that each have areas that they need to become more proficient in. Unlike Kagome, Towa has learned how to fight and handle herself among humans who don't fight fair, so she brings something to the fight right away. Mordecai strikes me as a real badass, a real shit disturber. And that trouble follows her, and half the time she's caused it. She's the one more apt to rush in. Kohaku made Setsuna the squad leader, so she must have some leadership abilities. And one reason why Setsuna may look younger is her armor. Sango, Kohaku, and Hisui all wear their armor under their breasts. Setsuna seems to have a flat piece of armor covering her breast, which hides her shape a bit. Thank you so much, Vondri Lavalee, for commenting on that YouTube video and allowing me to shout you out on the show. I thought it was a very detailed comment, and I hope you keep commenting. I hope you listen to the show as well. But that's going to be doing it for us on Weebcast on this episode, on this Friday. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of the day. Like I said, keep reading, keep watching, keep staying positive, keep loving. But I'm out of 2000. See you.